All right, grab your Bibles. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 this morning for our time in the Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First four verses of this chapter describe a church that's divided, a church that's immature, a church that's worldly, carnal. That's what Paul describes here. We dealt with that a couple weeks ago. So where do you go from there? How do you deal with that? And so as a pastor, I'm like, okay, Paul. All right, Paul, how are we going to deal with this? What's the situation? How are you going to address this issue? How are you going to encourage these believers? You've just crushed them, called them carnal, and really said some terrible things about them. How are you going to address that? What are you going to do now to build them up and to get them where they need to be and to address this thought of them being immature and being divided and being worldly? How are we going to deal with this? And so I love, as a pastor, certainly, I love how Paul addresses this. I love how Paul seeks to not leave them in that place, but to build them up and to bring them to this place where they are maturing and where they are united. He certainly began the letter encouraging them in who they are in Christ. And then he's been dealing with some issues here. And so as we get to verse 5 of chapter 3, Paul is going to tell them, follow my example. That's what he's going to tell them. Follow my example. Follow Apollos' example. As we ministered to you, follow that example of faithfulness. And so that's where he starts with it. As he's going to be working on them here, as he's encouraging them, he's told them, you're carnal, but now he's going to get them past that, right? He's going to encourage them here. Look at how I came to you. Look at, as I came to you, it was in faithfulness. So follow that example. And so Paul's going to give us a couple of illustrations here. I think illustrations that we certainly can identify. Two things that are huge industries in our valley: farming and construction. Right? I think just about everybody can identify in some form, shape, or way with those two things, either farming or construction or both. Paul's going to use those two things as an illustration of faithfulness and what it means to serve God faithfully. Verse 9 says, "For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building." You're God's field, you're God's building. So he uses these two illustrations as thought of farming construction. So as we come to verse 5, we see faithful farm equipment. Right? Faithful farm equipment. Verse 5, it says, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed and the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his labor. So Paul, coming off of verse 4 says, "For when one says, I am of Paul, and another says, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal?" And this thought of being divided and carnal. So then Paul brings them to this thought of, who am I? Who's Paul? Who's Apollos? That you should idolize us, right? That you should try to lift us and put us onto a pedestal. Who are we that you would be divided over us, that you would divide yourselves over us? We are just ministers. We are just tools that God used to bring you the gospel and to disciple you. You know, Paul was the one that planted the church. Apollos came later and was a pastor at Corinth. And so Paul's just saying, look, we each came and we ministered to you. We ministered with different gifts. Paul was gifted differently than Apollos was gifted. It seems that Apollos was a great preacher, a great orator. And so people kind of, you know, loved that and enjoyed hearing Apollos preach. But Paul certainly had that heart of a pastor and the one who was certainly very concerned about people and evangelism and sharing the gospel. So two different ministries, really, two different giftings. And Paul said, God used each of us differently in your lives for your good. Right? Look, God used, and we were faithful. We were faithful in the role God gave each of us. God used us in different ways. God gave the increase. And so we use the illustration. It's like farming. Right? It's like farming. And Paul says, I'm the seed drill. I'm just a seed drill. I just there to plant the seed. That's what God used me. That's how God used me in your lives to plant the seed of the gospel. And then Apollos came, and he's the pivot, right? He's the one that gives the water. He's the one that watered the seed and helped bring it to growth and all of that and germination. But certainly, as we look at that, it was God, right? God is involved in all of that. It is God who gives increase. It is God who causes spiritual growth. We are nothing. Right? Paul's just saying, I'm not anyone. I am just faithfully doing, and so is Apollos. We're just doing what God has called us to do and work in your lives. We're working towards the same goal. We're working towards a fruitful crop in your life. And so each one will be rewarded for faithfulness. Right? That's what Paul is saying here, and he talks about it in verse 8. Right? Where we will be rewarded not for the number of conversions, not for the number of people baptized, not for the number of churches planted, not for having churches that are popular, not for being, right, all of that. Paul said, right, we're not going to be rewarded for that. We're going to be rewarded for faithfulness. How faithful have I been to the ministry God's called me to? He said, and everyone's ministry is different. It's different. And certainly, he's describing here, I had a different ministry, Apollos had a different ministry. God's using both of that together to minister to you. And as Paul's giving this, he's encouraging them. He's encouraging them, you do the same thing. Right? You do the same thing. You be faithful in the ministry that God has given to you as a church, to each other, as a body. Right, that you're there encouraging each other and helping each other, right? That ministry. Right? Be faithful in that. And then again, we have verse 9. It says, for we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. And so then Paul transitions the illustration away from this thought of farming to that of construction. And so the next point I got there is faithful construction equipment. Or you could probably put in there, faithful contractor, really. I mean, Paul kind of describing is almost the thought of being a contractor. And verse 10, he says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And so Paul, is now talking about this thought of building a building, this thought of construction, everything that goes into that. And he says it's according to the grace of God. It's according to God's favor. Paul's not saying that he in any way could take credit for what God did. And I think certainly as we see Paul's ministry, there were places where there was great, what we would consider success, maybe, and places where there was not. Right before Paul was in Corinth, Paul was in Athens. And in Athens, Paul preached this great sermon, right? This great evangelistic sermon. He went to this place where they had all these altars to all these pagan gods, and they had the one altar that said to the unknown God. And so Paul declared to the Athenians, he declared to them this unknown God, this creator God, the God who sacrificed his son for them to forgive them of their sins. And he gave the gospel. And like five people responded, right? Out of the thousands that heard him, very few, right? We're not told the exact number, but right, not many. And then as Paul comes to Corinth, and he's there and he's tent making, right? Literally, that's what he did. He made tents. And as he's doing that, he's investing in his people's lives and he's giving the gospel. And there was a huge response. And there was all these people that came to faith. And the church was planted in Corinth. And so as Paul's looking at it, he's like, it's God. Praise God. I'm just faithful wherever I'm at to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what God has for me. And as churches are planted, great. If not, great. Right? It's in God's grace. It's God's favor. And so by God's grace, Paul says here, I laid the foundation, another builds. Another builds. So he certainly is recognizing, yes, he was there in Corinth for a year and a half. And then other people came. Other people came. Apollos came. Eventually Timothy came. Others came as pastors of the church at Corinth and had and built into their lives and encouraged them and encouraged spiritual growth. And so he's reminding them of that. Right? I laid the foundation, but others build on this. And then he gives us warning. Take heed. Right? Take heed. Be careful. Right? How this is being built. Be careful how you're investing in each other's lives. Certainly there's this thought that we will be held accountable for that. And so Paul's encouraging them in that, certainly to be involved in each other's lives, to be intentional in that. But he reminds them the foundation has to be Jesus Christ. Right? It has to be Jesus Christ. Like, that's where I started with everyone that he met. Right? Paul was very intentional in making sure they heard about Jesus, that they knew who Jesus was. And so he says here, that has to be the foundation in everyone's life. You have to start there. You have to. We can't build into someone spiritually. We can't build them up into Christ. We can't build on anything if there's not a foundation. Right? It has to start there. So we can share the great truths of Scripture. We can do whatever. But if there's no foundation, if Jesus Christ is not the foundation in that person's life, it's not going to accomplish a whole lot. And so Paul's reminding us of that and them of that, that, right, in people's lives, what's the most important thing? That they know Jesus. And that's the most important thing in our life. We remind that. Christ has to be the foundation. He has to be. And then he says here, then the walls go up, right? Then the walls go up, the trusses, everything has to, right, goes up after that. And it doesn't matter how much money you spend on framing, or you could have the greatest roof in the world. I mean, you can have whatever. You can spend lots and lots of money on all kinds of stuff. But if the foundation's bad, it's all coming down. Right? It's all coming down. And certainly, we understand that. In our community, there are places where people have built with really bad foundations, and their houses are cracking. Right? The contractor didn't do a good job. And some people have lost their houses because the contractor didn't do a good job building a good foundation. And so that's so important. And so Paul's just using that illustration, that thought of a building and how important the foundation is. And so we need to build, certainly, we got to make sure there's that foundation. As a reminder, that foundation has to be Christ. But then, right, then the building goes up. There's certainly more to it than that. Hey, there's more to than just the foundation. I don't know if you've seen buildings that are just foundations, right? It's like they ran out of money or something, right? It's sad, right? It's sad. Right? There's more to it. Yes, we have the foundation, but we need more, right? There's more that goes into it. And Paul's acknowledging that. And there was these others that came, Apollos and others, and he had mentioned Peter, that had invested in their lives. And so he says this building is being built up for God's glory. And later on, he's going to refer to it as the temple of God. Right? This is the temple that's being built. And so he says here, be careful. Right? Be careful. Be intentional as we minister to each other. And again, that thought of faithfulness, being faithful. And then the last thing that we'll look at here, and then Paul addresses, is that faithfulness will be tested. Right? It's going to be tested. Verse 12. Now it says, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear for the day. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So Paul continues this illustration of this thought of building into people's lives, And this thought that there's going to be a test, right? There's going to be a test. There's coming a day of testing. There's coming a day of judgment, if we want to put it that way, where the efforts, right, and what God has for us, that's going to be tested. That's going to be tested. And he says here, by fire. So the question is there, is this building that we're talking about, and what Paul's describing here, is he describing the church, or is he describing individuals? Right? Is this on the church scale, or are we just talking about individuals? And the answer is yes. Right? Trick question. The answer is yes. Yes, it's about the church and building up the church. But how in the world do you invest and build up the church without investing in people's lives who are individuals? You can't. Right? You can't. Right? So certainly, yes, in the context, this building is the church. Right? It's the individuals as God has called us to himself that make up this church. Those who've been called out for God's glory, for his purposes. Right? The church, right? That's what we're talking about here. But it's also about individuals, because that's who the church is made up of. And so we see these different building materials that Paul describes here. Honestly, some of these are not the greatest building materials, right? I mean, when we think about it, who builds a house out of gold, right, or silver? I mean, stone works pretty good. Wood works pretty good, right? But it's not about that, right? It's not about construction and all of that and what's the best material. What it's about is there's a test. And this test is, as Paul says here, it's fire. So he's going to light the building on fire, right? And that's the test. And so there is this day, and it says there is a day, right? So this is a one-time thing, one-time deal. This building's going to be lit on fire. And whatever's left over, that's the reward. Right, that's the reward. And obviously, the things that are described there that don't burn, right, the precious metals, the stone, that lasts. Wood, hay, stubble, that's going to burn. And so the description here is certainly, I believe, talking about what is referred to as the judgment seat of Christ. The Bema seat. Bema seat, however you want to pronounce that. Right, of Christ. When we, as believers, are brought before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there's this time of accountability. Right? There's this time of judgment. It's not about eternity. It's not about salvation. Paul makes that very clear here. This has nothing to do with your eternal destination. This is about reward. Right? This is about reward for how you have used your life in investing in his church and in his people. Right? That's what this test is about. That's the reward that we receive, or the loss that we have. And so what is the difference here? Right? What is it that makes the difference between that which is gold, silver, and the stone, and that which is hay and wood and stubble? Right? What is the thing that makes the difference? And I believe that in the context of everything else he's been talking about, it's faithfulness, right? It's our faithfulness to do as God has called us, to minister as God has called us to minister. That I believe is what is being judged, right? Our faithfulness to him, and our unfaithfulness and our insincerity, right? There is loss. Now I tie this in, and again, this is just my thoughts. Certainly there are others that take this a different direction. I tie this in to Revelation, where we see the scene of the saints. And they have these crowns, these rewards that they've received. Where do they get those rewards? I think it's right here at the judgment seat of Christ. It's the reward for their faithfulness. And we see they take these crowns, and they don't keep them. They don't get them. It's not theirs for eternity. They lay them at the feet of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Right? Because at the end of the day, it all belongs to him. Whatever ministry we have, it belongs to Jesus. Right? Whatever impact that God has used us to have in other people's lives, at the end of the day, as Paul's acknowledged, it is by the grace of God. Right? It's about the grace of God. And so as we look at this, certainly it is a Paul calling them to the spot of being faithful and ministering to each other in that faithfulness. And in some ways scaring them, right? Scaring them. Look, wouldn't it be terrible to at that time when you stand before your Lord and Savior that you have absolutely nothing to offer Him? You have no reward. It's just loss. I mean, that would be terrible. That'd be awful. None of us want that. And so here's the encouragement, is to be intentional in the things that God has called us to do, in the ways that God has called us to serve each other and minister to each other. And to minister certainly to our community and those who are lost and need the gospel. There's that element too. But in the context, Paul's specifically dealing here with the church and the church at Corinth and their issue of being carnal. Right? He's calling us to faithfulness. And so he's calling them to look at his example, right? A reminder of those who have gone before, those who have lived it, right? God has called them and they faithfully proclaim the gospel. They faithfully minister to God's people. He says, look at those examples, look at my example, and emulate that. This is a call to all of us, to everyone, right? To everyone that knows Jesus Christ as your Savior. This is a call to all of us, to a life of faith, and living by faith, and faithfully ministering as God would have us. And so as I look at our church, I look at the ways that we minister to each other, And I look at the last week, and we had a couple, Josh and Rachel, and Josh has hurt his back. He's unable to work, and they got a lot of things going on. They got two little kids. And it was so amazing. It brought so much joy to my heart, seeing all the things that people provided for them. And there was people that brought food, and there was people that brought diapers. Right? And it was just spontaneous. Right? It was just spontaneous. And if you didn't give, I'm not trying to condemn you at all. I am not, right? I am just excited that we as a church came together and helped some people in need within our church. And they were so overwhelmed by your generosity. They were so overwhelmed. They were like in tears, crying, because of all that had been given to them. And certainly if there's more need, I will make sure to pass that along to everyone of what their needs are. But man, you guys have impacted their life in a very positive and wonderful way. Right? And that's what Paul's talking about here. Right? That's what he's talking about here. This is what should be going on within the church. And the other thing that I just want to encourage us all, that something that we can all do. Now, certainly I understand, right? There are those who have been called to be the pastor and those who have been called into leadership, and they are held accountable. They're actually held to a higher standard and faithfulness, and as God uses them and to be faithful to the preaching of God's word, the teaching of God's word, the discipline that needs to happen within the church, you know, all of that. But each of us, right? All of us together. What I was saying, what is something that all of us can grasp onto and think about? I can be faithful in that. And one of the ways, and certainly there are many, but one of them is prayer, right? Like one of the most important things that we need, and certainly we have going on, but just an encouragement to continue, is prayer. It's prayer for each other within the body of Christ. And one of the cool tools that we have to enable that is our directory. Right? It's the directory. So, I'm trying to get the new directory. But, right, the directory, because here you have a picture. And I just want to encourage everybody in your time, when you go to the Lord and you do your devotions and time of prayer, have your directory. Start on page one. Pray for that person, whether you know them or not. Just pray for them. Next day, go to the next page. Pray for that person. It's amazing the impact that has on people's lives. And how it draws us together, because pretty soon you recognize who people are, and pretty soon you start asking the questions of, how can I pray for you? What's going on in your life? You know, how can I minister to you? What are your needs, right? We begin to kind of be more sensitive to those things as we're praying for each other. And just that encouragement, right? That is faithfulness. And to me, that is the things that we will be rewarded for. And I think of my grandma, right? I know, grandma's she always listens to all my sermons, so. But I'm gonna talk about grandma for a little bit. Right? Grandma is 104. She just turned 104 2 weeks ago. Right? And her ministry is praying for you guys. And you all know it because she emails you and she tells you that. Some of you, right? She does. Those that she knows. And she has her directory. And every day she is faithful to pray for you. Right? To me, that is so encouraging. Right? That's cool. I love seeing that. And so, yeah, as a church, Paul is calling Corinth to this thought of faithfulness and just a good reminder for us. Right? How is it that we avoid some of the pitfalls and issues that the church of Corinth fell into? By being faithful to the ministry as a body of Christ that God has called us to do. Now again, I'm also reminded of that foundation, right? And the foundation is Jesus Christ. Has to be. And so this morning, I just ask you, is he, right? Is he the foundation in your life? Paul said, I laid this foundation. He had the honor to lay that foundation. So this morning, I also ask you, do you have that foundation? Who laid that foundation in your life? Who did God use to lay that foundation in your life? And maybe you're like, Pastor Josh, I don't know. I don't understand. This morning, I would just tell you, and I just ask you, like, do you know what it means to have placed your faith in Christ? Do you know what Christ did for you? That each of us, as sinners, certainly are responsible for our own sin. Right? We are responsible before God. And the result of that, the punishment of our sin, is eternal death. It is. It's eternity in hell. It's eternity separated from God. That's what I deserve because of my sin. My sin. We all, right? We all are responsible. We are all held accountable for our own sin. But God, in His grace and His mercy, sent His Son, Jesus Christ. And He took our sin. Right? He took my sin. It was placed upon Him. He suffered. He died on the cross. His blood was shed for us, for me, that I might have eternal life, that I might be forgiven for my sin. And so the scriptures tell us that when we place our faith, right, that's all God asks. He says, place your faith in what I have done for you through my Son, Jesus Christ. Just believe. Believe. Trust in it. And you will be saved. You will be redeemed. You will become my child. And so this morning I ask, do you have that foundation? Because nothing else can be built into your life until that, right? Until that is a reality. And my prayer and hope that everyone here certainly hears and understands and believes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. That convicts us, that confronts us with our sin. It doesn't leave us thinking that we're good enough. It doesn't leave us feeling good about ourselves. But it brings us to our knees. It humbles us. And we are reminded that you have called us to a life of faith, to a life of trusting you, to a life of faithfully serving you and serving those that you have called us to serve within the church. And you have faithfully called us to proclaim your gospel, your good news to everyone. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would help us. We are so weak. We are so frail. We fail so often. Oh, Lord, help us. Encourage us. Help us to be the light that you called us to be. Help us to be faithful in the ministry to each other as you call us to do that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.